All right, everybody, welcome to Unscripted Unlimited here on the Everything Unscripted Podcast Network. I am your host, Doug Hummer, and of course, joining me tonight, he's finally come back from his cruise, and he's actually got a Saturday night off. Eric's here.
What's up, people? I'm back.
And Sharon's here just in case we get anything wrong.
Hey, everybody.
So, all right. Tonight's show is on The Princess Bride. So we're going to get into that real quick. Very quickly. So this is the second week in a row we're doing another movie review. We're going to probably do another one next week. I just got to come up with four choices because – what I had planned, I'm not going to do. But, Eric, you watched this, right?
Yeah.
All right. And then I saw it.
I tried to.
You tried to?
No, I did. I watched it.
All right. You've been back 30 seconds. You're already getting on my nerves. This movie, for anybody that, you know, wants to go and watch this movie, it's on Disney Plus. It came out in 1987. It's directed by Rob Reiner of All in the Family fame. Stars Carrie Ewells, Robin Wright. Well, she goes by now Robin Wright Penn. Billy Crystal, Mandy Patinkin. A guy who was kind of famous in the wrestling business named Andre the Giant.
Oh, him?
Yeah.
Yep.
Wallace Shawn, who, is he still on Young Sheldon or is he off?
No, he's still on.
Right, because he's the, he's one of Sheldon's teachers, right?
Yeah.
All right, so technically he's still there. Yeah, he was in it. Carol Kane.
Billy Crystal.
Yeah, Billy Crystal was on it. So the movie came out in 1987, like I said, and it's basically like it only technically made $14 million at the box office, but it's considered like one of those cult classics or whatever.
Right.
Like people still love the movie to this day. And by the way, like it just surpassed the 35th anniversary.
Wow.
I believe was a couple weeks ago. So it's been out 35 years. Eric, what did you think of the movie?
I it's not my cup of tea, but I thought it was an all right movie.
I mean, it's not everybody's cup of tea. Like Sharon was saying earlier, that you weren't a big fan of this movie, right?
Exactly. I when people say The Princess Bride, I was always like, that was just, you know, that was just a movie. I didn't really think much of it. But watching it again today, I actually kind of enjoyed it. It was better than I remember it being.
Yeah. So my feeling,
I had to go back and finished it. So kind of wasn't paying attention the first time, but I went back and rewatched.
We appreciate you. We appreciate you putting in a second effort, Eric.
Show.
Yeah. Well, of course. Now, like with this movie, the first time I ever watched it, I watched it with Grandma and Grandpa, and that was like, because it was on USA or whatever, because that's back when USA was actually showing like movies all the time at night. This is before USA actually decided to have its own original shows.
Right.
So, watched it for the first time. Now, I've only seen the movie all the way through. Like three times, today being the third.
Okay.
So I've always caught it at like the tail end. Because like my funny thing about movies is that like if I think a movie is like better towards the end, I'll wait till it gets to the end.
And then watch
like the last like 20 minutes to half hour. And Princess Bride, I've always liked that last 20 minutes.
Right.
When they storm the castle. Actually, not even when they storm the castle. I always kind of try to tune in when they're at Miracle Max's. who was played by Billy Crystal.
Okay.
Because I'm a huge Billy Crystal fan. Peanut isn't. So today, you know, watching this through and through, and it's actually a cute movie. And, you know, it's got Peter Falk in it who reads the – basically the premise is this. A young boy is sick, and I'm assuming that the young boy is in Chicago because he's wearing a Bears shirt.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. I believe that's the shirt he had on. And,
Boy Meets World. I'm not Boy Meets World. Wonder Years. What is it? Wonder Years. Yeah. I used to watch that all the time, too.
No, he's the Boy Meets World brother.
Oh, okay.
I meant Wonder Years.
Right. I know what you meant. That doesn't want, it wasn't going to stop me from correcting you, though. Peter Falk plays the boy's grandfather, and he reads him a bedtime story. Not even really a bedtime story. Actually, yeah, I guess it was kind of a bedtime story because he was sick. And the movie starts off with Buttercup, who wasn't even technically a princess yet. She was just, you know, living on a farm. And she had a farm boy named Wesley. And he always said, as you wish, every time she asked him to do something. They fell in love. He takes off on a ship to, you know, try to make a fortune so they can get married. He doesn't come back. So everybody assumes that he's dead. She ends up kind of getting engaged to
Prince Humperdinck.
Prince Humperdinck. And then Humperdinck was going to end up becoming the king. So
eventually she'll become queen.
Yeah. But she decides to go for a ride on her horse, and she encounters these three thieves. Viznik, who's played by Wallace Shawn. I may have butchered it. I don't know. Fezzik, who was played by Andre the Giant, and Inigo Montoya, who was played by Mandy Patinkin. Now, what was actually unique about this is what they were actually hired by Humperdinck to kidnap Buttercup.
Right.
And kill her, and then they were going to blame it on Gelder, because...
Gelder is another country or...
Yeah. On the city of Gelder... Because Humperdinck wanted the town of Forino or something like that, the town they were set in, they wanted the two of them to go to war. So he hired these three clowns to, you know, kill the girl. Now, Fezzik and Inigo were not necessarily down to kill her. And... they were getting chased by the pirate ship. The pirate ship, by the way, that was said killed Wesley. The dead pirate Roberts, I think it was.
The Dread.
Dread Pirate Roberts. So he's chasing them down. They go up this mountain. The Dread Pirate Roberts, who was actually Wesley...
Right.
Takes out both Inigo and Fezzik, and then causes Viznik to poison himself. Buttercup has no idea who the hell he is.
She thinks it's the pirate Robert.
Yeah, she doesn't know it's Wesley.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and Wesley's not going to take off his mask and be like, oh yeah, honey, by the way, it's me.
Right.
And then, like, he's being mean to her, so, like, to me, he's kind of just like, okay, he doesn't even know that it's her. But then, like, he's kind of just being a dick, and then she pushes him down a hill And she goes, just die. And he goes, as you wish. And she's like, oh, fuck, this is my one true love that I just pushed down a hill.
Right.
So
I think he did know it was her, but he was trying to figure out why she would get engaged to somebody so quickly after learning he was dead.
I mean,
so that's why he acted like he didn't know her, but he knew who she was.
I mean, so quickly after he was gone 5 years. I mean, hell, most Hollywood marriages move on after about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
They were true love.
Most Hollywood marriages are true love as long as there's money involved. Anyway, so...
Well, look at Tom Brady and Giselle.
Yeah. Well, no, that was true love until he decided that he'd much rather play football than spend time with his own children.
For what?
Yeah.
He's home for 6 weeks. He's just like, I ain't fucking doing this shit. So he goes back to play. But you know, who gives a damn about Tom Brady? So anyway, so now we're at the point where Humperdinck and his people, because they go through the fire swamp, and then they escape that, but then Humperdinck, you know, captures them. And we're like, oh, and he's like, okay. And then Buttercup's just like, all right, fine, we surrender. I'll go with you. Just do not hurt him. Humperdinck goes, okay, I won't. But then his right-hand man, Count Rugen, he looks at him and says, put him in the pit of despair. So they do. She claims she's not going to marry. She's just like, have you found Wesley yet? Have you found Wesley yet? She has no idea that Humperdinck is planning on killing her right after they get married and then still blaming it on Gelder.
Right.
So, and by this time, like, Fezzik and Montoya know that their other guy had been killed, and they're looking for the man in black, you know, the Dread Pirate Roberts, which, by the way, the Dread Pirate Roberts was passed on from person to person. Wesley had inherited it.
Right.
So now...
It's just a name, not a person.
Yeah, exactly. It's a job title.
Right.
And so after Buttercup insults Humperdinck again and calls him a coward, he goes down to the pit of despair and he turns like that because Wesley's hooked up to this machine to where like water or something gets in his head, right?
I'm not sure. Something's being some kind of suction cup action. I don't know if it's sucking the life out of him or what it's really doing.
So he turns it up to 50. He pretty much kills him, or almost. Fezzik and Inigo decide, or hear him scream, so they're like, all right, so they know where to find him. They go to the pit of despair. They knock out the guy that's the head of the pit, or the guy running the thing, or whatever.
Right.
And then they take him out, and then they take him to Miracle Max.
They take him as in...
Yep.
Wesley, right.
Yeah. So, and Miracle Max, you know, Billy Crystal goes, oh, you know, go away or I'll call the Brute Squad. And Fizzik goes, I'm on the Brute Squad. And Miracle Max goes, you are the Brute Squad. So he comes, so they take him in and they give him this pill. And Miracle Max's wife shows up and... because Miracle Max used to be the healer of the king, and then Humperdinck fired him.
Right.
So now they tell Humperdinck, or they tell Miracle Max, they're like, look, we need this guy cured because the girl that is going to marry Humperdinck is really in love with this guy. He's like,
yep.
Okay, so you're going to ruin Humperdinck's life? And they're like, yeah. He goes, all right, here's a pill. So then they get to the castle. Now, Wesley can't move whatsoever. Like, he can move his head a little bit.
Right. The pill brought him back to life, but slowly his body is starting to regain movement.
Yeah. Yeah, he can't...
he can't move his limbs or...
Yeah, pretty much. He's dead from the waist down. I know that feeling. But anyway, or at least a certain part of my body. Anyway, so they get to the castle. The wedding is happening, but Humperdinck knows something's going on. He knows that somebody's trying to get in the castle. So he has the minister skip the part of doing the I do's, which...
Right, he just has
she never said I do.
Yeah. So she goes to the castle, to the main bedroom or whatever. Humperdinck and his men prepare for battle, and then Fezzik or Inigo Montoya goes to find. By the way, Inigo Montoya's main mission is to find the man that killed his father, who was Count Reuben, who actually had six fingers on his hand.
Right, on his right hand.
On his right hand. So, and it was funny, Wesley actually noticed that before Reuben knocked him out, he goes, "You have six fingers on your right hand." He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Somebody's looking for you." And then Reuben knocked him out.
Right.
So they get to the castle. Fezzik pretty much has to hold... Wesley up. Inigo goes to chase Reuben. Reuben, closes the door behind him and locks it. Inigo's screaming for Fezzik. Fezzik just comes in and just pushes the door open because he's 500 fucking pounds and can do that shit. Or he punches it open. So then Wesley actually finds his way to the queen's bedroom, to Buttercup's bedroom. And as she's getting ready to kill herself, Wesley pretty much goes, "Don't harm those perfect breasts," or something like that.
Right.
And so they're like together, and then, they're kissing and all that. And by the way, like during all this, Inigo gets stabbed by Reuben, but then he was able to come back and he killed Reuben himself.
Right.
Fezzik disappeared to somewhere, and then Humperdinck comes in, confronts him, says, "I challenge you to a duel to the death," and Wesley goes, "No, to the pain," and starts naming off all the stuff he's going to cut off of him.
Right.
And then Humperdinck surrenders because Wesley stands up, and it's like, all right, he has strength. But not really. He just had enough strength to stand up. He had no strength to walk.
Right.
But he could stand. And so Wesley, so then Inigo comes in. Buttercup starts tying up Humperdinck. Montoya comes in and is just like, "Well, where's Fezzik?" He goes, "I thought he was with you." And then Inigo's like, "You want me to kill this guy?" You're like, "No. I want him to be around so he can see us live a long, happy life." And they find Fezzik. Fezzik actually went and round up four white horses. He's like, "I had to get the horses just in case we found the lady. Hello, lady." And so then they all jump down. Buttercup jumps into Andre's arms. There's actually a funny story about that they had to tell. They had to put, because Andre's back was so bad at the time.
Right.
They actually had to put her on cables.
Oh, really?
When she jumped, she basically had to be dead weight falling into his arms.
Wow.
Because he went to, they actually went to film the scene once. And she did the jump, and he couldn't hold on to her. Like, wow. His back was out. Now, she's 100 pounds. He's 500. But his back was so screwed up at the time.
He must have been screwed up.
Well, this was also around the time, too. So this was actually filmed in 86, I think, is when they started filming for it. It came out in 87.
Okay.
All right. But they started filming it in 86, and Andre actually took time off from the WWF at the time. He had been, quote-unquote, suspended by the on-screen president, Jack Tunney, but he was suspended for a couple of reasons. One is that his back was really bothering him.
Right.
He wanted off the road. And two, Rob Reiner was trying to cast him for the Princess Bride.
Gotcha.
So he needed time to film the movie. And then Andre even took like 5-6 months off to promote the movie. So he was gone like right after WrestleMania 3 up until like the month before the first Survivor Series. So,
well,
but yeah, so when Andre catches her and then Inigo says, or Fezzik catches her and then Andre says, or Inigo says to Wesley, he goes, I've been in the revenge business for so long. Now that I've killed the man that killed my father, I don't know what to do with my life. And Wesley looks at him and says, you want to be the new Dread Pirate Roberts? And Inigo looks at him and says, okay. So then the four of them get on the horses and ride off into the sunset together.
Right.
And then they end the story, or they end the movie with the grandpa saying to the grandson, he's like, all right, you get some sleep. And he goes, Grandpa, can you come and read the story to me tomorrow? He's like, as you wish, which is, you know, the tagline of the movie.
Right.
And what was actually supposed to be the ending of the movie was the little boy was supposed to look out the window and see the four heroes riding off on the horses.
Oh, really?
They had actually shot it, but Rob Reiner said they didn't use it.
Oh, wow.
But they had shot it, and
I
they said, that. Huh?
Why didn't they show it?
He never really gave a reason why. I know that, like, when they shot it. All right, so the funny story is that the day they were going to shoot the scene, the new Nouveau Beaujolais, which is a wine, came out. And Andre got a few cases of it. He got, like,
wow.
Yeah, 12 to 15 cases or whatever.
Okay.
And he drank all of them. So by the time it was time for them to shoot the movie, shoot the scene, he was drunk.
Gotcha.
So they had to put him on tables to lift him up, to lift up, in Rob Reiner's words, a 500-pound drunken giant, to lift him up and put him on a horse. And he couldn't stay at. I'm pretty sure the reason why they didn't use the scene is because he couldn't stay, like, he was wobbling on the horse.
Gotcha.
Poor horse.
Right.
So, and Andre's just like, hello, boss, hello. And Rob Reiner looks at him and says, what job do I have?
Right.
So, yeah, they ended up not using that scene in the movie. I've seen the deleted – I've seen it, like, it's on YouTube, I think.
Is it?
The scene is, anyway. So, but, yeah, so that's pretty much the movie. I mean
– I enjoyed it.
I mean, I
didn't – I totally lost or had forgotten what half of the storyline was.
So did I, because like I said, it's been so long since I've seen the whole movie through and through.
Right.
Now, Eric, was this your first time watching this film?
No, because once I remembered the scene where the boy and the grandfather came in and told the story. That's when I remember. I think I did watch this before, but I think it was a long time ago. But I didn't recognize the title of the movie, that's why. But I think I've seen it, at least some of it before.
Yeah, I mean, it's on Disney Plus, which I'm actually surprised that it's on Disney Plus, because I don't remember it ever being a Disney movie.
Yeah, I thought it was more of a Netflix movie.
What was that, Derek?
I thought it would be a more of a Netflix.
Well, it was on HBO Max for a while, too, because the Andre the Giant documentary that they did a few years ago that was part of HBO put Princess Bride back on HBO, so, you know, because that would lead in the documentary whenever
right.
they showed it.
And is this the only movie Andre did? Or did he do another one?
He's uncredited in Conan the Barbarian, or Conan the Destroyer, I think.
Okay.
With Arnold Schwarzenegger. But he's uncredited.
Okay. But, yeah, so this is not considered, this is not even a Disney movie, right? It's just a...
Yeah, it's just a fairy tale movie. A very cute fairy tale movie. You know, I'll say this, like, and she's still actually a very good looking woman, but Robin Wright was actually gorgeous in this movie.
Oh yeah. And she was very gorgeous.
Yeah. I mean, she's still pretty good looking now. And it was funny. She told the story in the Andre, cause they did when they did the Andre documentary, they interviewed Rob Reiner, Carrie Ewells, Billy Crystal and Robin Wright about their time with him. And she had told the story about how they were out in the forest and it was cold and rainy. And for some reason, she didn't have a jacket on. So Andre came up and Andre's hand is huge. So he came up
yeah.
and put his hand on her head to keep her head warm.
So he acted like a hat.
Yeah. And his fingers pretty much went down past her face.
Wow.
But, like, everybody talks about, like, you know, Billy Crystal and Rob Reiner and Carrie Ewells and Robin Wright. They talk about how much they enjoyed working with him because he was one of the nicest human beings. So,
that's cool. What
do you
yeah.
say? How much did they get in the box office?
They made $30 million, I think it was, on a $16 million budget.
Okay. Is that pretty good for a 1987 film?
That's what I was thinking. That's not bad.
It's not bad. I mean, they just technically consider it a moderate success. But, I mean, to be honest with you, that's not bad at all.
No.
By the way, this is based off the book written. It's based off the book written by Bill Goldman.
Okay.
Which was written in 1973.
And it had pretty good actors in it. This is a pretty star-packed cast, if you ask me. You had Billy Crystal, you had... what's his name again from The Wonder Years?
Fred Savage.
Andre, because he's a WWE, with the WWF star, probably the biggest one at the time.
Yeah.
And then you got the woman.
Robin Wright.
Was she a big star?
She did quite a few movies. She was actually, she was in Forrest Gump, right, Sharon?
I have no idea. I really don't know what she was in.
Okay.
Yeah, for a 1987 film, I think it had pretty decent stars in it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I definitely agree with that, because Billy Crystal was actually one of the biggest stars in the world at that time.
Yeah, she was a
poor
scum.
Yeah, and then Mandy Patinkin, he was kind of up and coming too. And Rob Reiner, this was actually Rob Reiner's fourth film that he directed.
Oh, wow.
First film he was At that time, This is Spinal Tap, Stand By Me, and then I forgot the other one.
Yeah, I don't remember either. But you said he also directed this one?
He
directed and produced?
And produced, yeah.
For a storytelling movie, I think it's a decent movie. I would probably give it like a three out of five stars.
I would give it 4.5 out of 5 just because I do have fond memories of the movie. Because I did enjoy watching it. For some reason, I actually thought the movie was longer than what it was.
Right.
I think it dragged, for me personally, I think it kind of dragged in the beginning, but then you got some action in the middle.
Action in the middle with with all that. I mean, I think like the parts where Inigo and
they were trying to run away from.
Like when Inigo and Fezzik were not like in the movie, because I do think like they were a big part of the movie.
Right.
But like the 20 minutes to half hour of them not being in the movie, like it kind of drags. Because for me, that was too long for them not to be in it.
Right.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed this movie. I mean, it's actually considered to be one of the best movies of the 80s.
Yes.
And you can tell it's like a 1980 movie because of all the stuff.
Yeah. What'd you think of those giant rat creatures?
I thought that was funny. When he was trying to fight them off,
yeah,
I thought he was gonna bite his shoulder off.
Oops,
I like that he killed him with what did he kill him with? He killed him with the stick, not the stick, but
with the tree log, right?
Yeah, and he stabbed
him,
I think, too.
Fighting a bear.
He rolled him over into one of the flames and stunned him, and then I think he stabbed him. She was hitting him with the stick.
Yeah. I thought for a second he had the creature bit her leg off.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like. Let me ask you guys this. What do you think of Andre as an actor?
I think he's good in the right role. Like, this was a good role for him. The problem is that English is not his first language.
Right. You can tell.
Yeah.
He has a hard time talking.
Yeah. Which Rob Reiner had even said, he goes, he auditioned for the part, but I couldn't understand a word he said. But the author of the book, Bill Goldman, Goldman also wrote the screenplay for the movie. He didn't just write, he wrote the book, but then he also wrote the screenplay for the movie.
Oh, okay.
So when he wrote the screenplay for the character Fezzik, he basically told Rob Reiner, Andre the Giant is the only person that can play this part. Because he was a big wrestling fan at the time.
Gotcha.
He's like, you have to get Andre. Yeah. So Rob Reiner did, and then like I said, like everybody has nothing but fond memories to say of Andre the Giant, except for Cary Elwes actually blamed Andre for, his toe getting broken.
Oh.
Because they were up on the scene where, up on the mountain or whatever.
Right.
And Andre's best way to get around back then was via ATV. So Andre had an ATV that he used to ride around on his farm in North Carolina.
Okay.
Well, they actually bought one for him
to use on set.
To use on set to get from place to place. So it was taunting Cary with it, and he goes, "You want to take a ride on my toy bus?" And he's like, "No, Andre, I'm fine." He goes, "Come on, boss, give it a try." He's like, "Andre, I'm good." So then he kept taunting him. He's like, all right, fine, Andre, I'll do it. And then he's driving around in it, and then he ends up driving like over like a big rock or something, and it actually threw him from out of the vehicle, and he broke his toe.
Oh, geez.
And he just looked at Andre and said, thanks, Andre.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah. And then, but yeah, so no, everybody had great memories of Andre. But yeah, no, I did enjoy this movie. I'm glad I actually got to watch it from start to finish. That was kind of a plus.
Well, there you go.
So.
Did Daniel watch it?
He did not. Daniel needed a night off.
That's not. My final thought, I thought everybody played their role in the movie well. So it was a well-directed movie and well-played. Well, it was a good movie.
Oh, no, it's definitely a good movie. That is, I mean, I would echo the sentiments. I think everybody did a fine job in that movie. I do think that Cary Elwes, this is a lot better, I think, than, you know, him playing in, like an actual, like, fairy tale hero.
Right.
It's better than him playing that fake fairy tale hero in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Right.
But, yeah, no, I think
Wait,
he did a good job. Huh?
Oh, no, sorry. Go ahead.
And I think Robin Wright, she did a fantastic job. I think Andre was – I thought the whole cast was good. And the guy that played Humperdinck, I thought he did a fantastic job being the bad guy. Chris Sarandon is his name.
Yeah, I thought he did play his role very well.
Yeah.
Andre did too.
Exactly. All right, you're not going to be on next week, correct?
Nope, unless something changes.
All right. Change your availability. But anyway, all right, so listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, or not the Dirt Sheet Dudes, the Wrestling Outlet, every Wednesday night on YouTube around 10 to 15, 10 to 20 Eastern Time. Then listen to them Sunday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, also on YouTube for the Hollywood Hangout. Listen to us Friday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time on blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Next, this upcoming Friday night, we're going to be doing War Drums, and it's going to be the May 1st, 2000 episodes of Raw and Nitro. So
okay.
We're going out of time. We're going out of order a little bit here. Catch us next Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted for Unscripted Unlimited. We're going to do another movie review. I'm going to reveal tomorrow on the Facebook polls what movie I'll have, you know, everybody vote on it again. Because I'm not sure exactly what movie we're going to do, so I'll just pick four and have people vote on them. Then, of course, tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Daniel and Mindy for the Stabcast. They're going to be talking about the movie Smile. They saw it in the theaters last week.
Smile?
Yeah.
Okay.
They saw it in the theaters last week, so they're going to review it tomorrow. Monday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time here on the same channel, Daniel and Bobby for the Web Cave, and they're going to be doing another head-to-head superhero battle. It's going to be Black Adam versus Dr. Fate, I think you said, right?
I think so, yeah.
All right. Sharon and I and Bobby's girlfriend Danielle will be the judges for that.
Well, that sounds fun.
It's pretty fun listening to those two argue. And then Eric and Clintus, since Eric is back finally this week. I assume you guys will be doing Hard Hits again.
Yes.
So
I'm
going
to have to ask him either probably Wednesday.
Okay.
Or Thursday.
All right. So make sure you listen to that. Check out our buddy Sean on YouTube and Twitch at Elite Diplodoc. So, all right, this was fun. Princess Bride was a good movie. Thank you, Sharon, for chiming in when we needed you.
You're welcome.
Eric, thank you for finally showing up for once.
You have enjoying Extreme Rules. Let me know when the Bailey matchup is. I want to watch that one.
Okay. Yeah, I will. So, all right, and we'll catch everybody next week.
Later. Bye, Sharon. Bye, Doug.
Bye.
Bye.